This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. And we just had a very, very interesting conversation on climate changing, the climate reality program that Al Gore himself is heading up. And what was so interesting in the presentation that we were in this morning is that everything that he predicted way back when in 2007, it happened. And I mean, that's a real concern that we weren't listening then and then allowed it to happen.
You know, just when you think that you're doing all that you can, something else pops up and you realize there's so much work still to do. But to have great collaborations with people like Ella Bella and people like Miss Earth SA, you know, the world just becomes a smaller place and there's lots of work to be done, but great work with great results that can be attained.
Agreed, 100%. Now, talking about collaborations and things that we do together, last year, September, we participated in inaugural, the first LeaderX conference, where really it was the biggest coming together of entrepreneurs, executives, thought leaders in the business space in Southern Africa. We were invited to participate.
We had our own grandstand.
And a grandstand, it definitely was. Part of that conversation, though, we pulled in some CEOs and we asked them, what have you learned? That was one of the sessions that we ran. But why we mention this? Because on the 24th of August, it's LeaderX again, LeaderX 2016, and we want you to be there. We want you to come and participate with us, and we're going to give you a bit of a taste of what we were able to experience last year. Just who are we going to expose them to today, Flubi?
Shamil Yusup. And he is the CEO of Vodacom.
Is that correct?
The guru himself.
Yes, the man.
Right. William Nziba, and that is from Accenture.
Southern Africa. Yes. It used to be South Africa, but Southern Africa. Yeah, William Nziba.
Nziba. Yes. And then, come on, your Zulu must come now.
Yeah.
And then, Vinette Klein.
Yeah, Vinita.
Vinita, thank you.
Vinita Klein.
And Vinita.
So she sits on all sorts of different
boards, correct?
And she's the chairperson of the Institute of Directors here in South Africa as well. We sat them down.
And if that's the kind of caliber we had last year, can you imagine the caliber we're going to have in 2016, Gareth Armstrong?
We are definitely pushing for some really big names. You're going to have to hold out. We're not going to announce it just yet, but please go to leaderx.com. You can go and find out more information there. But here's a conversation that we had with the guy those three individuals. Let's get into it. Try this on for size.
I think that's changed a lot over the years. You know, I think when we were growing up, and even when I started in business, we always had this image of the CEO playing golf and, you know, just delegating everything. And
William laughed.
And to a large degree, my children.
That's why I followed the path. And when I arrived there, there's no more playing golf. What is this all about?
And my kids still think that's all I do. They think I just give orders and do nothing the whole day. I said, Dad, you actually got quite an easy job. But actually, I think it's evolved a lot. And today's CEO is very much, what you're looking for is a lot more operational. So you're looking for the operational intensity, which I think wasn't there in the past. Not that you didn't have good CEOs in the past, I think it was just a different era. And now it's a lot more hands-on, and a lot more is expected from you. So I think it's a lot tougher and a lot more draining and intense, if you like. But you know, it's quite intense in terms of the volume that's required.
Okay, so we're hearing operationally intense thoughts, William?
Yeah, it has quite a lot of operational intensity in it. And also, business by business, this differs, right? So I'm in management consulting and technology and some digital stuff and outsourcing. So for us, it's about how we serve our clients every day and how we create that customer experience and how I can set the tone at the top for the entire organization to be able to follow the path on how we can delight our customers. And it's quite an intense, as Shamil says, it's a very intense kind of work because it requires that every moment of truth you have with your clients, it's a memorable one. We can't have any fault lines in the system. And so the tone has to be set from the top, and that's where the intensity comes in. So you also have to understand operationally where your business is going, and you have to strategically be aligned with where the market and your clients are wishing you to go. And in our business, being an IP-intensive business, so you need to also be sharp in terms of, thought-provoking conversations and knowing what's happening in the industries and so on and so forth.
Okay, I mean, I guess the world is changing so rapidly all the time that you have to be hands-on. You have to know where the world is going. You've spoken about strategy. Add something to the
mix, please. Yes, I really want to. I'm not taking away anything of what my colleagues have just said. I want to just add on to say that I have a different definition of a CEO. Everything you said, plus I believe a CEO is a chief encouragement officer.
Okay.
Love that.
Because for me, it's about people. I believe if you have not got your people with you, it doesn't matter how bright you may be and how great your opportunities and your market share may be. If you don't take your people with you, you're going to lose. That's the first thing. Secondly, I also just want to add on, Shamil, you know, it's still, you, was it you, William, just said that your children still believe that's all you do. So golf is still being played. So for the ladies in the room, if you are CEOs, it's okay. I've got news for you. I sat at Exco of APSA where the guys played golf. They really did, and they enjoyed it. I never did play golf because I didn't believe that as a woman I needed to take on the male persona to survive. Mm. What I did, however, do, I was never going to rain on their parades. I always just made sure that wherever they played golf, that there was a good spa right there.
Absolutely, girl. Give it here.
From the moment they walked in and they started off on, you know, their first hole, I was in there. And, I mean, sometimes by the time I had my full treatment, top to bottom, they were still out there. I just said, let's do round two. So, ladies, we work within a system.
Love it.
Okay. Well, thank you for balancing that out. Very important. Let's put ourselves into a future CEO's shoes. Young, dynamic, high potential, wanting to move and to do things. I think there may be a mismatch in terms of the reality on the expectation that a young person needs to have if they want to reach the top. What happens when you make that decision? What should you be doing? Shamil, what are your thoughts?
I think firstly, you've got to take the necessary steps and move your own vehicle forward, as I like to put it. And what I mean by that is you've got to take all the learning opportunities that presents itself.
Mm.
So in terms of your studies, take doing an MBA, giving yourself what I call the ticket to the game. So I think that's extremely important on the one side. I think it's always important to have ambition, but also to be passionate about what you're doing. And for me, what I look at is, and when we're looking at young aspiring leaders, what you're looking at is firstly their ability to lead on the one side and lead teams of people. Secondly, I would say is passion. They've got to be passionate about what they're doing. Hard work and drive, I think, is extremely important as well. Decisiveness and leadership qualities in terms of how decisive you can be. And then lastly, for me, if you're given a particular role, what I found in my career certainly was that I always took the stance of saying, let me make it bigger and better than what anyone envisaged. So if you asked to do X, I think you should do X, Y, and Z.
Okay.
And you've got to push their boundaries as far and as wide as you can and make it bigger and better. And those are the people that stand out and are the future leaders.
Okay. I heard once somebody say, under promise and over deliver.
Yep.
You like
always
that?
Important.
Benita, your thoughts?
Exactly right. I just think that today's young people who are aspiring to get to the top have got an additional challenge which maybe we didn't have, certainly not in my time, that there are so many opportunities. And, you know, a definition for me of real talent, latent talent, is somebody with headroom, somebody who's got the ability to grow, but somebody with runway, which means that they're not just going to jump at the next job that comes out. Because very often what you find is you've got somebody who's really got a great career path set in a particular organization, but they so easily get seduced by another 100,000, 200,000, just because somebody else needs to tick another box. And they trade their very opportunity just for that small amount of money. So for me, it's a combination of the headroom, which talent does need to have, but staying the course and ensuring you're in a good environment that's going to give you the opportunities that Shamil spoke of.
Mm.
And, you know, to stand out, to do what everybody else is doing, but do the more.
Mm.
I used to always say to young people working for me, you know, how do you stand out in a crowd? How do you make yourself stand out in a crowd? Nobody can do that but you. So today's young people who's aspiring to get to the top has got a lot of clutter. And the clutter that's coming at them is all the opportunities. And it's then being able to determine and decipher which are the right opportunities that will get you to the top of the pile.
Okay, every decision counts. Every decision has a knock-on effect. Okay, very, very nice. William?
Look, I would say that what Shamil and Vanita said is absolutely spot on. You need someone with a staying power because it's a journey. No one is going to entrust you with their business if they don't feel you have the passion and you have the staying power. And that you have prepared yourself along the way to be ready for this kind of a step up. So I would say that it starts by you making it quite a deliberate act of wanting to craft this path for yourself. And then doing all the things that need to be done, like leadership, passion, delivering excellence, and of course, staying the course. And then making sure that as and when you're doing that, you're saying, you know, under promise, over deliver. In our environment is high performance all the way. You have to set yourself very aspirational goals, and people would like to see you achieving those high aspirational goals.
Okay.
And then they know that this is a person with a staying power, and they've prepared themselves enough because they are curious enough to want to learn all the time, that this is a person we can entrust our business to, and they will do a good job.
So what's so nice about William's comments there is I think often, and we were at the Career in Derby just the other day, and when we were there, we presented, and one of the things we said was CEOs, they don't work 9 till 5, they work 24/7. What are we talking about here? What were we talking about there at the event? We were talking career development, and that's what we're going to be focusing on now on the 24th of August again at LeaderX 2016. Lubia, just a thought or two.
Sorry to bring another CEO that we had in there. Remember when I asked Mark what actually he does, and it was so elaborate, and there were so many hats that he wore being a CEO. And I love the fact that William just said that you just got to stick to the path that you know and just do it well, and I love that. And Elle just said the same thing: to be a leader means you have to lead and follow. So I think it does differ from CEO to CEO, but at the end of the day, there has to be that focal point of vision and obviously a sense of wanting to be a mentor.
So let's get back into the conversation. We just wanted to pull out and just highlight the fact that what we were talking about here is career development. And the question we led here, and you didn't hear us introduce it at right in the beginning of the conversation when we were there, live in front of that audience, was what do CEOs actually do? So let's continue listening. We'll get some more insights, and we will see. We'll jump back in with a couple of comments from our side as well.
It speaks to something that I found and I have learned over the years, for me at least, humility. I find that a lot of people, you know, if you haven't been able to get that right mix of humility, you either come out as someone who is too big for the organization, and that's ego.
Sure.
And some organizations don't really thrive very well with very egotistical people. I think in some environments you need the ego, but you know, generally for big corporates, you need to be able to, you know, to keep your ego in check. So which means you must still be very confident in how you're going about your things, know your stuff, but the humility keeps you grounded and keeps you in check, and then you are able to reduce that aspect which people could think that this person thinks that they're bigger than the organization. Because as soon as you get to that point, no one really wants to entrust the business with you because you're going to just kill it.
You've used the word three times, entrust. There's a lot in that word, entrust, yeah. Entrust.
Vanita, what is a mistake that you made early in your senior position, and what did you learn from that mistake or that experience?
I think the one that stands out for me is coming into a role as a senior executive. And quickly wanting to, you come in before you even have had a chance, your first 90 or your first 100 days. You're in there with a shot. You're going to change everybody. The furniture's out. Your new furniture's in. And you unravel the whole plan.
With him, you're smiling.
Because, I mean, that's probably the biggest mistake that I made. Because in between the people that I exited were actually the knowledge anchors that could have gotten me to deliver on a better result a lot sooner. Fortunately, I had picked up on the error of my ways, and I quickly was big enough to say, that was a mistake, let me correct it. But I think for aspiring or young CEOs to say, take the time to find out what you have. Because in between there, you could have pearls and absolute gems that's going to give you or drive you to success. Rather than coming in with a preconceived agenda, cleaning up house, and finding out that you've thrown out the baby with the bathwater. That was certainly the biggest mistake I made.
Shamil?
Mine's the reverse. Not acting quick enough, which is in the first 90 days, knowing who the doers are, who the talkers are, and who the consultants are. Sorry, William.
You always need consultants.
No, you do, always, you do. Always. But you know what? They're working for you.
Shamil one, William, you better come back zero.
No, I mean, there's in strategy and so on, you need people who can think and who can provide that. But you also need people, for me, there's people who can tell you what's wrong with the world and have no idea how to fix it. That for me is problematic. And you also find out your biggest mistake sometimes is that you point people or you have people that you inherit and you wait too long. And you don't make the call that you should have made. And then months later, you realize that actually that person doesn't have the capability to do that role. And you want to kick yourself because you should have done that a lot earlier. So you've lost 4, 5, 6 months sometimes. And sometimes it can even go on for years. And I think that's where you've got to be decisive in terms of, I think the most important thing is to surround yourself with the right people with the right qualities. Because no one's an island. You need your team has to be fully operational. And so I think sometimes you wait too long. And that's the mistake you sometimes make. Because you also get caught up a little bit in emotion. People have been there a long time. You like the person, you know, and so on. And sometimes they can be in the organization for 15, 20 years and they've been very, very effective. But they've run out of steam or they've lost the passion. And when that happens, I think it's time to call it a day.
My mistake was exactly what you talked about, right? Especially when you're growing in the organization, because as you grow in the organization, there are people that you grow looking up to. And you get to a point where now you are the chief and you're reviewing the situation and you think, actually, this guy is kind of like part of the furniture, or this person is kind of like part of the furniture, you know, and you're not quite too sure what to do with them. I think for me, the most important thing is just having the courage to say, the strategy I'm driving goes this direction. The talent I need is this type of talent. And this talent that has been with the organization for X number of years ain't relevant anymore. Got to make the change. And have the courage to just get on and get it done. That way. Obviously with the humility, as I said. But you got to spot it on quite quickly and be able to deal with it. It took me like a year. I took a year just assessing and just trying to figure out, you know, where the draft is going and where the path of least resistance is and everything else. Fortunately, the business was on a good footing, so there was no reason to rush. But when I look back, there are things I could have done in that year that could have set the business in a different course of direction much earlier. You know, so fortunately, there wasn't really a platform that was burning that needed me to act as swiftly as I would have liked to act. But I do realize after some time that, you know what, I left certain things to fester for a long time.
Sylvia, I guess what we are hearing here, and it's so important, is that mistakes are allowed. I think too many of us, we don't allow ourselves to make mistakes, and sometimes are worried that if we make a mistake in a corporate environment, that's our heads on the chopping block. I guess the cornerstone of that is just good relationships and good communication. I do remember my question. Here it is. Please put yourself in, again, a future CEO's shoes. He's working hard. He's got that dedication that we spoke about. He has that passion, or she, but the person that they are reporting to doesn't allow room for growth, is taking some of the glory or the praise. What does that person do? There we go, there we go. Is there an amen in the... Okay, we want this question. By the way, please, guys, we want your questions. Please, please. Okay, I've got a question coming up. All right, we'll get you the mic. There's the question. What do you do with a manager or someone above you that is stopping you from shining?
Look, I think it's always difficult. If you really see that someone's a blocker and you're really not getting anywhere, then I think you've got to seriously consider changing roles and so on. But more importantly, I think you also got to be so good at what you're doing that you do stand out. And what will happen is, if you're really doing a really great job, it will come, you do end up shining out. And organizations that have that will be able to recognize that talent. But there is times, and one has to accept it, that there is times that you will have a situation where you have a blocker and so on. So you either change departments if you believe in the organization and maybe excel somewhere else, you know, or else change roles. If your potential is not being realized, I think one of the worst things is sitting too long in a place where you, and it's holding you back. But I also think you've got to make yourself heard. And I'll give you an example. When I joined Vodacom, after 3 months, I actually went to them, and I mean, it might sound a little bit arrogant, but it wasn't. I'd done 5 years of articles, and I actually found that the role that I was doing was too mediocre for what I'd been taught. And I thought,
okay.
So I actually went to them. I said, you know what, I'm a lot more intelligent than this. Why don't you give me something more clever to do? You know, and actually did. And, you know, and I had to change roles. I had to actually change roles. And it was probably the best move that I made in my career, because from there it just flourished. So, you know, you can get stuck and you can realize that very early on. And I think if you're not, like, if it's not using your full potential, you've got to also push and you've got to ask for more and you've got to take on more, you know, to be able to get somewhere.
I like that point. Ask for more.
Absolutely. Can I build on that?
Well, unfortunately, we run out of time, so we won't be able to hear the rest of that conversation. But if you would like to do that, please go to cliffcentral.com/LeaderX2015, and you'll be able to download it there. Now, just remember, guys, 24th of August, block it out in your diaries. Come and join us at the Sandton Convention Center. It's going to be another really, really good event. Luby?
And in the fantastic words of El Bella, our fantastic guest, our expert in issues of climate change, leaders create other leaders.
And they certainly do. And we'll be back trying to assist you to lead your organizations, develop yourself, your career, your entrepreneurial venture. Same time next week.
God
See
bless.
You then.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.